From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. The New York Times this week published an op-ed entitled Jeffrey Epstein and When to Take Conspiracies Seriously. The lengthy piece attempted to say that, quote, sometimes conspiracy theories point toward something worth investigating. A few point toward the truth. In the immediate aftermath of Epstein's death, President Trump himself immediately promoted a conspiracy theory that the Clintons were involved. My next guest makes the case that what is most needed now is investigation. Jeet here is a national affairs correspondent at The Nation magazine, and he just published the piece, Epstein's Death Demands Investigation, Not Conspiracy Theories. Welcome to the program, Jeet.
Good to be here.
So the case that the New York Times op-ed, it seems, was making is that there are times when you can stumble on a conspiracy. And the author pointed out that, for example, when the Harvey Weinstein scandal came to light, for a long time before that, there were rumors swirling. And one might have imagined that it was a conspiracy, that this whole network of people were just conspiring to keep it all a secret. And then, of course, people came forward and it all blew up, and that conspiracies can help point the direction toward investigations. What do you think?
Oh, I mean, I basically agree with that analysis. I mean, there's a sense in which Epstein's whole life has been a bit of a conspiracy. I mean, he's a man who, you know, has committed horrible crimes, and while he was alive, only got a very light sentence. And there's a lot of things that are very murky and unclear about him, but they do kind of point towards him having very powerful friends and very powerful institutions that protected him. So yes, I think that there are conspiracies. I think my main point is that what's the best way to counter them? It's to through investigations, both journalistically, through law enforcement, and through Congress.
Now, when we have a president, who routinely promotes conspiracies and who, you know, and as I said, you know, barely was Epstein's body cold when Trump posted a tweet promoting a conspiracy by Clintons, that seems to muddy the waters so deeply, because it seems as though under this administration, the priorities are quite different from what reality demands. Trump is steeped in conspiracies of all kinds. If you look at the Russia investigation, he wants, he has all sorts of conspiracies that he thinks are behind the so-called witch hunt. Does this promotion of conspiracies from the very top make or create a situation in our country where we, who are already kind of vulnerable to suggestion, especially Trump's base, just makes it so much worse? I mean, when the president is promoting conspiracy theories, you can't be surprised if more and more Americans do.
Sure, yeah. I mean, I think that's clearly Trump's intent with this, is exactly to muddy the waters, to make it at least keep some of his people on board with thinking that it's all just about the Clintons. And then also, in his particular case, I mean, maybe to keep attention away from himself. I mean, it is the case that Jeffrey Epstein was in a federal prison, which means that, ultimately the chain of command is that the president is in charge of these things, through his attorney general. It is a fact that Trump was friends with Jeffrey Epstein for many years until shortly before Epstein's arrest. There are videos of the two of them sort of partying together. So, and in fact, within shortly before Epstein apparently or allegedly committed suicide, there was a release of documents that show that Epstein had recruited at least one woman from Mar-a-Lago. So there does seem to be, it's all entirely in Trump's interest to muddy the water, to make this a partisan issue. And he's relying on a previously existing set of conspiracies that really go beyond him and are part of Republican folklore. I mean, he didn't invent the idea that the Clintons go around killing people. That was something that Newt Gingrich and the Republican Congress concocted in the 1990s.
Now, the situation is pretty remarkable that you have people from the right and the left, unfortunately, promoting conspiracy theories, right? There are folks on the left who sort of, you know, right in the aftermath, at least my Facebook feed was filled with people who were like, well, I'm not surprised that that happened. And I wonder who would benefit by his death. And even folks who looked at photos of Epstein's body that were supposedly leaked out as he was wheeled away on a gurney, saying that's not the shape of his nose or his ear, it's a body double. Do you think the left is unfortunately also susceptible to these sorts of conspiracies?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah. There's no particular group that is more susceptible than any other. Conspiracies are sort of transcend ideology, and yes, there has been a lot on the left. And again, I think it just to go back to that New York Times article, I mean, I think it's important to understand the origins of these. The conspiracies do come from the fact that if you have political systems that are opaque, secretive, where there is sort of favoritism for some people and not others, that all breeds conspiracy theories. So there's a sort of social route, but I think that we have to resist falling for them because they really are not a way to search for the truth. They're a way to evade the necessary task, which is investigation.
Now, Attorney General William Barr immediately seemed to make implications himself that edged close to conspiracy. He was, gave a press conference where he talked about the lapses or the failures of the Metropolitan Correctional Center. Perhaps it's because the MCC happened to be located in New York and the state of New York is in a battle to obtain President Trump's tax returns or to hold him accountable. But he seemed to imply that there was, you know, that heads would roll at the MCC. But it's Barr who directly oversees federal prisons like the MCC, right?
That's right. Yeah. I mean, in this case, we can clearly see that the conspiracy is being used to sort of misdirect or take attention away. I mean, I'm sure that there were failures in the prison. That seems very clear. And they have to be investigated. But I think it's also, we have to be clear that in a lot of ways, Barr is the wrong person to investigate. That's why I would call for Congress to investigate, because Barr is, if there's a failure, Barr is as much a part of this failure. And you can't have someone investigating themselves. I mean, that's a classic, you know, the fox guarding the hen house situation.
Do you think that this story, because of course we don't know what investigation would reveal, but on the surface of it, a lot of people point out, well, this is just more distraction, you know, the salacious lives of the rich and famous and celebrities who tend to escape justice. And, you know, this doesn't deserve any more attention than, say, the Harvey Weinstein story got, which is to make this a story about how a powerful man got away with, you know, assaulting scores of young girls, as opposed to something involving the government, involving the White House. I guess we don't know till we know. So do you feel the congressional investigation is warranted for a story like this?
It is the case that, Epstein was under government prosecution in 2008, and he received, you know, what everyone who has looked at it says is an astonishing sweetheart deal that basically let him, get a slap on the wrist where, you know, he'd have to go into jail at nighttime, but he could be free for most 6 days out of 7 every week to go into his office. And that deal was made by an American federal attorney who then became, Secretary of Labor under Donald Trump, and Acosta, who lost, Alexander Acosta, who lost his job when some revelation came out. And we also further know that Acosta was asked whether Epstein got a sweetheart deal because he had ties with either intelligence or law enforcement. And Acosta refused to answer that question. So I think that we actually know a fair bit that suggests that this is not just a salacious story about one man or several men who, did horrible sex crimes. This is actually a story that implicates high government officials.
And some of the documents that were released the day before Epstein's death implicated some people in very high places, Prince Andrew and former New Mexico Governor Bill Richardson. And of course, there is plenty, there are witness statements pointing to Trump's role in committing rape against young girls provided by Epstein. So if there's even a hint that our current president was involved in any of these sex crimes, that seems to be at least worth congressional scrutiny rather than just swirling conspiracy theories.
That's right. That's exactly right. Yeah. I mean, we know enough of the people that Epstein kept company with that they were very high officials of both parties. And also world leaders in other countries. And so why would that not be worthy of attention? And there's also a very real possibility that he got off because he was providing information either to the FBI or to American intelligence. And that itself is very troubling.
So the news that just came out this week is that in the wake of Epstein's death, some of his victims, some of the women who say they were his victims, have decided to go after his close accomplice, Ghislaine Maxwell. So it seems as though the lawsuits around at least holding him or attempting to hold his inner circle accountable will continue. And I'm wondering if you think that this particular offshoot of the Epstein story is very much deserving of attention as well, even though now the suit is against a woman.
Oh, sure. Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, Epstein had accomplices and assistants. And in that 2008 deal, one of the things that's shocking about the deal is that sort of what were described as his co-conspirators received immunity. I think that definitely there are other people that have to be brought to justice. And it is the case that some of the people that who assisted Epstein were women. And in the case of Maxwell, it's also a person of, you know, great political influence. She's sort of the daughter of Robert Maxwell, a British, the late press baron from Britain. And she, you know, attended the wedding of Chelsea Clinton. She's often seen socializing with very powerful people.
You point out in your article in The Nation that there are former Epstein employees who, because Epstein is now dead, are not bound by the non-disclosure agreements they might have signed. And in fact, there was a journalist, I believe in the Washington Post, could have been the New York Times, who also wrote about his dealings with Epstein when Epstein promised to offer to be an anonymous source for an unrelated story. But this journalist was now able to write about this encounter because the source was dead and Epstein is dead. And so he can actually go public with his experience. So there seems to be his, even though his death cut short the justice that he deserved, it seems as though it has opened up some more avenues for investigation.
That's absolutely right. Yeah, it was a writer in the New York Times who had interviewed Epstein off the record before he died. And obviously, the off-the-record rules no longer apply. I expect that there were other journalists who also interviewed him. And so there are definitely stories that could be pursued there. But also, yeah, the former employees who might have signed non-disclosure agreements, those are all gone. And also, the law enforcement needs warrants to go into Epstein's properties, but they no longer need those warrants because Epstein is no longer around. And so they have greater freedom or leeway to search his properties, and there might be video recordings or other documents related to crimes he committed.
What's fascinating about Epstein is that it's not that he seemed to occupy a space in right-wing or sort of liberal-left society. He seemed to be someone who moved in wealthy, elite, celebrity-type circles. And there may be bipartisan, you know, reluctance to investigate Epstein because you just never know what you will uncover, right? It could be Clinton, or it could be Trump's wrongdoings, or it could be both.
That's absolutely right. Yeah, I mean, I think when Epstein was first arrested again The daughter of Nancy Pelosi said, you know, well, this could implicate some of, she tweeted this, some of our faves, and that we have to pursue justice, but we have to pursue justice wherever it goes. And I think that it's absolutely the case that if there are other people implicated, it won't be along partisan lines. And this might be something that had protected Epstein, that like many rich people, he cultivated friends in both parties, and that protected him.
What's remarkable is that so much of what has happened now seems to have been because the floodgates were opened by the surge of the hashtag MeToo movement. I mean, after the whole Epstein story and his death, now we've heard about opera superstar Plácido Domingo, who was found to have used his leverage to, you know, force women into sexual relationships with him. And of course, it seems as though everywhere we turn, there may be powerful men who thought that they would, you know, not have to be confronted by their misdeeds. And Epstein's story, I wonder, may be one of the, you know, highest reaches of this still pretty nascent movement's influence.
Yeah, no, I think that's right. And I actually want to actually specifically, though, mention the role played by Julie Brown, who's a journalist at the Miami Herald, who very doggedly pursued this story for several years and did like an amazing job writing it up. And that was really the cause of him being rearrested, that she, you know, documented her story to such length that it both caused Alexander Acosta to lose his job and then Epstein to be rearrested.
I'm so glad you brought that up, because absolutely the journalism that went into a story like this that helped start to uncover it, it did predate the rise of the hashtag MeToo movement, but maybe the movement helped take that story more seriously. You absolutely need both social movements and good journalism in order to have change and social change, right?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. I do think that a lot of the women who came out and spoke to Julie Brown, that was after Me Too started. And I think it is all very much part of this. And they deserve credit. I think that we have to really remember that this is their story, and that we have to foreground them and listen to what they say. And that's the most important thing. And the stories that they tell, which are very consistent and come from hundreds of women. I mean, the Palm Beach police, they had 102 Jane Does. And that means they had 102, you know, witnesses with allegations. And it's very astonishing. And the ones that have come through and put their names on it or even have testified anonymously, it takes like a huge amount of bravery.
And I'm wondering if you know whether Epstein's death, what effect that has on those investigations? Does it mean that the federal government now continues, because the FBI raid into Epstein's Caribbean island happened after his death, so presumably they might have recovered a lot of documentation or evidence in that location. What happens to the entire investigation that the federal government is pursuing, which is separate from the lawsuit that the alleged victims are pursuing?
Well, that's a good question. We're just going to have to wait and find out what the FBI does with what they find. If they find enough evidence to implicate sort of co-conspirators or other men who, you know, might have done it. I mean, Epstein, we know this as a fact. He told a reporter at the New York Times that he has blackmail information on powerful men. So whether that information is among his papers and among his documents, we're going to find out.
William Barr, of course, our attorney general, is the final, you know, will have the final say on such a suit. But you point out that federal prosecutor Jeffrey Berman seems fairly committed to uncovering the truth.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. Berman has insisted that he will go forward with this. And I also actually think that Congress has a role, that they have an oversight role in law enforcement. And I feel this might be a case where, you know, they could say that we don't have faith in Barr for a variety of reasons, and to like set up independent investigations into this and to do oversight to make sure that it's pursued. But again, I mean, Congress itself, Epstein had so many friends that, you know, they themselves might be reluctant to go forward.
Right. I mean, this is the thing. When you have powerful people investigating other powerful people, the conflicts of interest, unfortunately, can really complicate things. So it really does depend, I suppose, on the pressure that some of the victims keep up on this. You know, and even all of that, just going back to what we started out discussing, which is that you have the swirl of conspiracy theories after his death. The best way to undermine the conspiracy theories is to do an investigation and to actually uncover the truth, right? Because conspiracy theories die when in the light of day, when you actually have a real account of what happened, you don't have that sort of speculation.
No, I think that's right. And I think that's, but I mean, I think that you also need like sort of social movements and political pressure put on, you know, the powers that be to keep pursuing the story and to not let it die. So, I mean, we'll see where it goes. I'm sort of have a little bit of confidence, just that I feel like there's, you know, such social outrage that there could be that if the story dies, you know, it will make a lot of people look very bad. So I feel like there's ways that this could be pursued and continued.
Jill Filipovic, writing The Guardian, said Epstein conspiracy theories are far-fetched, but can you blame people? And she suggests that the mishandling of the case going all the way back to the Florida prosecution and, you know, what seems to now fit with the suspicious circumstances of his death. So it's interesting that I think she makes a good point that when, you know, had he received justice more than 10 years ago in Florida, we wouldn't be here.
No, that's exactly right. Yeah. I mean, there has definitely been wrongdoing, and not just by Epstein, but by the system. So, well, I mean, there's a political problem, and people need to, like, you know, hold the political elite accountable.
Well, Jeet, I want to thank you so much for joining us today. We'll post a link to your piece in The Nation from our website. Really appreciate your time.
Okay, thank you. I really appreciate being here. Yes.
My guest has been Jeet Heer, national affairs correspondent at The Nation. You can find his work at thenation.com. His name is spelled J-E-E-T-H-E-E-R. We've been discussing his latest article entitled Epstein's Death Demands Investigation, Not Conspiracy Theories. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter, subscribe to our video channel on Vimeo, and find our audio podcast on iTunes and Spotify.